All right, well, it's good to be back in the Lord's house today. And does everybody still have their papers from last week? All right. Brother Scott, did you remember those drawers we put those in back there? Did you see what drawer I put those in? We got some here that are here this morning that weren't here last week. It's like the third drawer down or something on the right, the one for this week. There's some extra ones if you don't mind, please, sir. If you got your Bibles, turn over to the book of John, and what we're studying now is salvation doctrine, some things that took place when you got saved. God did a lot of stuff inside of you, and a lot of things in heaven took place the very, very moment that you got saved. Amen. And so we're going over those in. We're just going over the introduction and going over each one of these and looking at the verses, and you can fill your paper out as we go along. I'll wait till he gets back and give the ones that don't have. Who all does not have one? Or might have forgot one. Okay, we got some here this morning. We'll go ahead and get those. And we'll go back over them real quick so you can fill it out. And then we'll go back and look at some more of these things. And as we go through here, we're going over the introduction, but we're going to go back and we're going to look at each one of these 25 things. And look at what God did for us the very moment that we got saved. We serve a good God, do we not?
Amen.
There's not one person in here who's truthful with themselves. All right, raise your hand again if you need one. All right, there's not one person in here, if you're truthful with yourself, that deserves salvation.
Amen.
There's none of us that deserve the salvation of God and the blessings of God Almighty in our life. There's two more over here. Did they get enough there? Okay, good deal. Thank you, Brother Scott. I appreciate that. And so we're going to look at these things. So if you got your Bibles, we're going to turn over to John chapter number 1. But before we read that, let's go ahead and go back through this for the ones that weren't here last week. And you can go back and read some of the comments in the paragraph there at the top. But we talked about reading and studying God's Word is likened to eating a balanced diet. And the Word of God, number one, is likened unto milk. The Word of God is likened unto milk. And you can go in your personal study there and look at these verses and take this paper home with you and go back and study it. Number two, the Word of God is likened to honey. Is likened to honey. Number three, the Word of God is likened to meat. Likened to meat. Number four, the Word of God is likened to apples. Apples. Number five, the Word of God is likened to bread. And then number six, the Word of God. Does anybody need a pen? You need a pen. All right, we got some right here. Here you go, ready? Anybody else need a pen? We can come up with some pens. Need another one right there, all right. This is my good pen. All right. Are you sure you're not an Alabama fan? Because Alabama fan. Yeah, if he was throwing it, that would be the problem. Not catching wasn't a problem. I didn't get to watch it. I was in Arkansas working and got home and took a shower and went to bed last night. So I found out this morning what happened. And I got a text message from a friend of mine asking, did all the churches in Alabama cancel today because Alabama and Auburn both lost? I said, no. They did not, or we're not. There might be some that do, but we're not. God's more important than anything, right? That's just a game. And I know it means a lot to folks, but, yep, we're on the winning team. My quarterback never throws an interception. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. And that's right, perfect coach, all above. I feel a message coming on. All right, the Word of God is likened unto milk. It's likened unto honey. Brother Scott, give one back here for Miss Heitch, if you don't mind. Or two of them, one for her husband. The Word of God is likened unto milk, honey, meat, apples, bread, and strong meat. And what we're teaching here during Sunday school the next several weeks is salvation doctrines and what happened when you got saved. And this is considered the milk of the Word. And, you know, might be honey or whatever, just something sweet, something nice. But as you grow as a Christian, you ought to be able to get a little bit stronger in the Word of God and some little bit stronger things in the Word of God. Y'all have heard me mention terms like dispensations and tribulation, millennium, and things of those sort. Those are stronger doctrines in the Word of God. And as you grow as a Christian, you should be able to grow in your Bible to where you get to the point where you can go through those things and see more of it and grow. And I gave the illustration of baby Emma. She was just on her mother's milk for the longest time, and she's just now getting to where we can get a little bit of baby food, and I do not know how in the world we feed that to our kids. That stuff is disgusting. Come in little baby jars and stuff. That's nasty. I don't know. I guess they don't develop taste yet. I don't know, but it's. But we take that and we take half of it and we mix it with milk and make it. You know, we're slowly getting to the point where we can feed her something. I can't go give my daughter a hot dog right now. She would choke to death on that thing and die. And there's a lot of Christians that if you try to give them some meat out of God's Word, they'll choke on it and die. Spiritually speaking, and they're not going to lose their salvation, but they get to the point where they don't understand it, and they get frustrated, and they just get out and leave, and they quit on church, or they get upset about some salvation, or about some doctrine in the Bible. There's some doctrines in the Bible that are hard to comprehend. They almost seem like they're out of this world, but they are.
Amen.
Amen. God's out of this world. And so there's a lot of strength. There's a lot of hard doctrines. It's kind of hard to swallow and get a hold of. But as a Christian, you start with the milk. And there's a man that I spent some time with this past weekend. We were over in Arkansas helping this black church. They bought an old Pizza Hut building. They're converting it into a church. And I was still hoping to have the smell of Pizza Hut in it, but it didn't. But I got over there, and they're trying to remodel that thing. And there's a man that I work with that just got saved just a few months ago. And he's been going to church. He goes to Glory Land, and he's really growing as a Christian. And he got up. He said, I get up every day and go sit on my porch, and I read my Bible before I go to work. And he's just excited about it. I said, man, he just got saved, and he's doing better than most Christians are. But he reads it every day, and he's excited about it. Well, no one told him where to start reading, so he just started in Matthew. And he's all the way to the book of Acts now. And he has some questions. And he brought me Friday night. We stayed in the same hotel there, and we stayed up Friday night for a couple hours, and he was just asking me Bible question after Bible question. And he's like, I don't understand this. And I tried to explain it to him a little bit, but it was stuff that was a little harder, more meat in the Word. And so, I told him, I said, just keep reading your Bible and God will show you these things. I can read in the Bible and I can read a passage of Scripture and I can read it 10 times and get 10 different things out of those verses.
Amen.
When I first started reading my Bible, really reading it as a young teenager, man, there was things that I'm like, I have no clue what that's talking about. I bugged the snot out of my pastor and my dad. I was asking them, it seemed like every time I went to church, I said, Brother Estep or Dad, what is this talking about? And they would try to explain it to me, and I really didn't understand it, but I just kept reading and reading. And now I'm reading those same passages 20 years later, and God is still showing me things. And that's just growing as a Christian. And so the Word of God is likened unto these different things here. And some of the things, Brother Heitz did a wonderful job Wednesday night, and some of the things that he gave us was a little bit stronger than the milk of the Word.
Amen.
And as a Christian, you grow and you get at different levels in your Christian life. But there's one thing that never changes. I still like a glass of milk every now and again.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
I still love hearing about salvation and what God did for me the day that I got saved. And he did a lot of marvelous things when I got saved. When a baby grows up and they get to be full grown and they're eating all kind of stuff, they still like getting a little honey, a little sweet, a little milk and those things. So you say, well, I'm an older Christian or I've been saved a long time. The simple things of the Word of God should still excite you also. And learning about salvation. So I'm just going to give you these real quick. I'm going to read them off, the ones that we've already done. And then we'll pick up where we left off in this introduction to salvation doctrines. And again, I'm not, this is something new to me, giving handouts for people to fill out. Some folks expressed interest in wanting to do that and have something they can take home and study. So I did it. But it's new for me, so if I'm going too fast, please tell me to slow down. I'm teaching in the Bible Institute at church, and I've got one guy in there that's always like, "Brother Andrew, slow down." And he tells me that, you know, we just started last Monday, and he said it four times, I think, during the class. So y'all just tell me to slow down if I need to. All right, number one, your spirit was born again when you got saved. Your spirit was born again. And again, we looked at all these verses last week. You just write it down. If you weren't here, go home and study it. And then we're going to pick back up here where we left off in just a minute. Your spirit was born again. And we're going to go into detail on every one of these after we go over this introduction. Your soul was cut loose from your flesh. Your soul was cut loose from your flesh when you got saved. All right, number three, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. You were sealed by the Holy Spirit. Number four, you became a new creature. You became a new creature. Am I going too fast? All right, number five, the Holy Spirit baptized you into Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit baptized you into Jesus Christ. And then number six, Jesus gave you His righteousness when you got saved.
Amen.
He gave you His righteousness. And now we're going to pick up on number seven there in your paper. If you got your Bibles, turn to John chapter 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
I know I had you turn there earlier. John chapter number 1, look at verse number 12 and verse number 13. John chapter 1, verse 12. The Bible says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And so when you got saved, God made you a son of God.
Amen.
God made you a son of God. And I don't know about you, I was give you a little illustration. This morning I was listening to Patch the Pirate on the way to church. We are wearing out Patch the Pirate tapes. But in the Patch the Pirate we're listening to on the way to church this morning, it's the one called Starry Night or something like that, or Once Upon a Starry Night, and it's got the missionary Livingston. Y'all ever heard of him? David Livingston. So it talks about him in there. And they asked the missionary, they said, "Missionary, how do you pay your bills? How do you get your bills paid and pay for your food?" And he said, "My heavenly Father pays for all my bills." And one of the little kids said, "Man, he didn't say heavenly Father, he said, "My Father pays for all my bills." And they said, "Man, your father must be rich." He said, "Yes, my father's very rich. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills." And one of the children said, "You're not talking about your earthly father, are you?" He said, "No, I'm talking about my heavenly Father." And one of the kids in the show there asked him, he said, well, "What do you do when you get down and you need something or you need money or food?" He said, "I just cry out, 'Abba, Father.'" And that Abba is, you know, sort of like you'd call somebody daddy today. And he said he cried out to his Father and God takes care of him. When you got saved, you got the benefit of having God Almighty as your Father. You become a son of God. And there's a lot of things I can call my dad and he'll help me, my earthly father, and he'll help me. But man, there's a lot of things he can't help me with that only God can help me with. And it's when you got saved, Jesus Christ made you, God made you a son of God when Jesus Christ came to live inside of you. Look at Romans chapter 5, the book of Romans chapter number 5. And again, we're going to go over all these in great detail after we finish this introduction here in a few weeks. Romans chapter number 5. When you get there, let me know, say amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. Romans 5, verse 10, the Bible says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When you got saved, you were reconciled to God. You were reconciled to God. That's number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and look at verse number 17.
Amen.
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, give you a moment to write that down. You are reconciled to God. 2 Corinthians, you say, I don't fully understand all these, and I'm not going into them on purpose because we're going to go over them in detail later on. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17 through 21, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Whenever you got saved, God reconciled, Jesus Christ reconciled you to God. Before you got saved, man, the wrath of God abided on us. We were sinners on our way to hell, and Christ made things right between us and God. Man messed things up in the garden way back then, and man's been messing up things ever since. And Jesus Christ, we are reconciled to God by what he did for us on the cross of Calvary. Before that, man could not have fellowship with God until after they get saved. I mean, I don't know what different folks feel about it, but it doesn't really matter. The only prayer I believe God will hear before someone gets saved is, Lord, save me, is believing that Jesus Christ died on their heart for their sins. Because until they get saved, the wrath of God abides on that person. The Holy Spirit's not living inside of them to help utter those things which we don't understand, and to be that intercessor for us when it comes to prayer. And so I've heard people say that, you know, before they got saved, that God called them to preach, and before they got saved. Now that might have been the will of God for their life, because God has a will for everybody's life sitting in here. God's got a will for every child that's sitting in the room in there, even if they haven't been saved yet. God's got a will for their life. And I believe that with all my heart. Over there, Jeremiah? It said that God had called him and chosen him to preach before he was ever born. But Jeremiah had to surrender to that, and he had to accept Christ and surrender to that. And so God's got a will for everybody's life. But until you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, the wrath of God abides on that person. And so the only prayer that I believe he'll answer is the one about Jesus saving him. And so, but after you get saved, we then are reconciled to God. We have an open prayer line to God after salvation. Look at Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. We'll look at the next one, number 9. A lot of things we don't realize, man, what took place the very moment that we got saved. As soon as you accepted Christ in your heart and Jesus Christ saved you, all these things took place just like that, the very moment that you got saved. Romans chapter number 8, when you're there, say amen. Romans chapter 8, verse number 14, the Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of what? Adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When you got saved, number 9, God adopted you. God adopted you. And again, going back to man, him being our Heavenly Father, God adopted us into his family. There might be some earthly families that some people might not be in, might be in a part of. Someone's got a lot of money or a lot of prestige, and there's some folks down here that no matter how you cut it, they just, you know, their family's sorry. And there's some that don't have moms and don't have dads. And I know of folks that they don't even know who their mom and dad is, and they've been adopted and gone around and tossed around. But man, I'm telling you, when you got saved, you were adopted into the family of God. And I've seen people use that as an excuse not to do anything, and they're playing the victim card because they don't know who their parents are. But when they got saved, man, they got the greatest Father of all time. They got the Heavenly Father that takes care of every problem we have. He's always there to listen to us. He always has the right answer. And we were adopted into the greatest family in the world. And we got a bunch of brothers and sisters in Christ when we got saved. Amen? And that's there's many a time, or most all the time, I'm closer to the church family that God's given me than I am my own family. Amen. And I thank God that, you know, my mom and dad are in church, and they're a part of that church family, and I'm close to my dad. I'm not too close to my brothers and sisters because they're not in church and they're not living right. So at times, I'm a lot closer to my church family. And I enjoy hearing from them. And you are, you know, we say brother so-and-so or brother Scott or sister Kim. And that's because we're brothers and sisters in Christ through the adoption of God.
Amen.
That we were adopted into the family of God. And it's amazing that you can go all over this world and go to another state or somewhere else, and the Spirit bears witness, like it says here, and you can get around someone and you just know that there's something different about them. And then that's your brother or sister in Christ.
Amen.
I've heard stories of twins that get separated at birth or whatever, and years later they'll meet up and meet each other and find out, hey, you're my sister. You know, and it's just an amazing thing that they got adopted or whatever and got separated and met back up later. And it feels like that every time you go somewhere and you meet somebody else that's a child of God.
Amen.
Like you're meeting your long-lost brother or sister. We went over there to West Memphis, Arkansas yesterday, Friday night yesterday, and we remodeled the inside of that Pizza Hut there, trying to help them get ready to have church, and did a lot of work, and there's still a lot to do, but we got a lot done. But it's a black church, and there was a bunch of them there that were working, man, and they were just sitting there crying. They said, "We cannot believe that y'all would load up and spend your Saturday over here trying to help us." They were just blown away that someone would do that. And man, but there was a kinship there, and they were just so excited. And you know, the answer is God. It's because of God that we do that.
Amen.
And if a brother or sister is in need, that's just like going over and helping your brother or your sister.
Amen. Yeah, it is.
And so if my brother called, even though, you know, he's not in church, but he called me right now and said, "Hey, this afternoon I need your help," I would do the best I can to go help him. He's my brother.
Amen.
But it's the same way with a brother and sister in Christ. If someone needed my help or do something, but all that's made possible by the adoption of God, that God adopted you. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter number 1. I really want to make it through this list, so I need to just kind of give them to you and move on here.
Amen.
So we can get started next week in looking at each one of these things. Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians 1 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." When you got saved, you were redeemed. You were redeemed. You were bought back, purchased back from the devil, from the world, from the sins that had you in bondage, and God redeemed you back when you got saved. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 is where we just read. All right, let's move. I'm just going to give you the rest of this list here because I really want to finish this so we can start next week and looking at each one in detail. Romans chapter 5. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse number 1 through 9 and then Romans 4, 5. Romans 5, verse number 1. You there?
Amen.
All right, I still hear people writing and turning. All right, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Amen. When you got saved, you were justified. You were justified. You know, an easy example of justified, or a definition of justified, is just as if you had never sinned. Amen. Just as if you had never sinned. When you got saved, the blood of Jesus Christ was placed on your heart there, and God saved you, and he made it just as if you had never sinned a day in your life, because you received the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so now when God looks at you, all he sees is his Son and the blood atonement that was that he shed for you on the cross of Calvary. And when God looks at you, no matter what you've done, no matter what your past is, no matter what you're going to do when it comes to sin, God sees you. He sees the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And he looks at you just as if you'd never sinned one day in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord for that.
Yeah.
Wish the brethren would look like that a little more, of people that got a pass to them, because there's some folks, man, they got a little bit of a hairy past and nobody will have anything to do with them.
Amen.
Well, you know, what if God had nothing to do with you because of your past? You say, well, I haven't done anything outward. Well, God knows our heart.
Amen.
If we were honest with ourselves this morning, there's some of us would not want anybody in here knowing what we thought last week. Amen?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want you knowing what... I'm just human also, but we were justified the day that, just as if we had never sinned when we got saved. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. All these things took place when you got saved. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6.
Amen.
Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 6, 11. And such were some of you, he just listed a whole bunch of sins in what the sinners that they were. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. When you got saved, you were sanctified.
Amen.
You were sanctified. And again, it doesn't matter the past. It doesn't matter if you were 10, if you were 5, if you were 50, if you were 105. When you got saved, God sanctified you and made it just as if you had never sinned one day before in your life. It's a clean start with God. And thank the Lord for that. And you can do something for God and you can serve Him. And I know sometimes your past might slow you down on who you can minister to, but God can take your life and He can make it a living testimony for Him.
Amen.
And He can use us. Man, praise the Lord. I enjoy this stuff. I don't know about y'all, but every time I think about what God did for me, it excites me. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I've got to move along here. I keep saying that, but I need to. John chapter number 14. John 14, look at verse number 16. John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And then Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, I'll just read it for you real quick. Colossians 1, 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And you compare those two scriptures together, and when you got saved, Jesus came inside you in the person of the Holy Spirit when you got saved. Man, to think about that the one, Jesus Christ, the one that died on the cross for your sins, when you got saved, He came to live inside of you.
Amen.
And now He lives in us. He lives in the new man. That soul that was cut away from the flesh, the new man, and Jesus Christ lives inside of there. That's also a humbling thought, to think that whatever you're sitting there watching on television or whatever you're participating in, Jesus Christ is with you the whole time. And He's not leaving. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. Jesus came inside you in the person of the Holy Spirit when you got saved. All right, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. I'm running out of time here, so I'm just going to give these to you. And your homework is to go read the verses.
Amen.
Anybody commit to doing that? Go read these verses this week.
Amen.
All right, you go read the rest of these verses. All right, number 14, when you got saved, all of your sins were forgiven. Every single one of them.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
All of your sins were forgiven. Colossians 1:14. All right, once you got that one down, number 15, your name was recorded in heaven. When you got saved, your name was recorded in heaven. There's a lot of places that some people might want to see their name. They might want to see it in a newspaper, up on a marquee somewhere. But man, there's the best places. It's written in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
In that Lamb's Book of Life. Number 16, Jesus became your advocate. A-D-V-O-C-A-T-E. Jesus became your advocate. That was number 16 here. I'm make sure I got my notes here. All right, number 17, you obtained a blessed hope. A blessed hope. That's Titus chapter 2, verse 13. And that blessed hope that you obtained, we're going to get into it in more detail and show you the verses. But that is the glorified body. That's your new body that you're going to get when we go... When Jesus Christ comes back, that's the new body that we're going to get. Titus 2:13. You obtained a blessed hope. Number 18, you were given peace with God. You were given peace with God. That's that peace that passeth all understanding. This world can't understand it. You can't explain how it works, but that's the peace that God gives you. Amen? Number 19, you were given a heavenly citizenship. When you got saved, you were given a heavenly citizenship. You realize if you're saved this morning, you're a dual citizen. You're a citizen of the United States of America, and you are a citizen of heaven.
Amen.
People ask you, where are you from? I'm from heaven. Hey man, I'd rather claim that one than down here, wouldn't you? The way this United States is going, but I'm still proud to be an American, but I'm even more proud to know that I'm going to heaven when I die, and that's my home. I'm just a passing through, as the song says. All right, number 20, when you got saved, you received an inheritance. You received an inheritance. And one day when I make the time, I've been so busy, but I would like to have where I can have some of this stuff up on the screen for you. You can be easier to write it down and keep up with, but I've just been covered up. So, you received heavenly citizenship. You received an inheritance. Number 21, when you got saved, you are no longer in bondage to sin. You are no longer in bondage to sin. That does not mean that you never sin again. It just means that sin no longer has a hold on you. Now, if you choose to sin and you choose to allow that thing to control you, that's by your choice, but it no longer, because of Christ, man, He can give you the victory over that thing. There's people tell me all the time, I cannot quit smoking. But if you're saved, yes, you can. God can do it. God can help you do that thing. God can help you get rid of that bottle or whatever it is that you enjoy. Your flesh enjoys it, but God can. Once you get saved, that thing no longer has control over you. If it does, you're allowing it to, but you just got to give that thing to God and He can take it away.
Amen.
Amen. If you don't do that, it's because you don't want to. That's just what it boils down to, because God will give you the strength to do it. All right, number 22, when you got saved, you passed from death to life. When you got saved, you passed from death to life.
Amen.
And y'all going to do your homework, right? Y'all going to go read these verses? Okay, number 23, When you got saved, God's wrath was removed from you. God's wrath was removed from you. Before you were saved, the wrath of God, John 3:36, abideth on you. But when you got saved, that wrath was removed. All right, now here, this is the last one. The last, but certainly not the least. When you got saved, you will now die in Jesus Christ. You'll die in Jesus Christ. And the part I don't have written down there, you can write it below it if you want to. But when you got saved, you will no longer die in your sins. If you're saved here this morning, when you die, you're going to die in Jesus Christ. And you're going to wake up in heaven sweet with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you're lost in here this morning, you're going to die in your sins. Jesus Christ saved you. He justified you. He reconciled you. He gave you a new birth. He made you a new creature. All these things that we listed here, He did that for you when you got saved. And when you die, you'll wake up in heaven because of those things. Because of Christ. Not because of anything you've done, but because of Jesus Christ. But if you're not saved, if you were to die, you're going to die in your sins.
Amen.
That's all you have is your sins. Jesus Christ took our sins when we got saved. Again, that does not mean that you're sinless. We're still stuck in this old flesh. When we get to the teaching on spiritual circumcision, that's the teaching where your soul was cut loose from your flesh, you'll see and understand how it is that we still sin, but yet we're still saved. Amen? It's getting into the doctrine of God's Word and the teaching there. So Lord willing, next week we're going to begin studying the new birth. When someone gets saved, they were born again spiritually. And we're going to look at that thing starting, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. So we'll go ahead and be dismissed right now.